BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Joe.
Why are you doing Joe first? Because it's Adam first.
But if you
start doing
the bomb...
It's not a billing thing, it's a scanning thing.
Well, then I've got to do the bombs.
You do the bombs, then.
All right. Boom, 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 boom. But I'm not very good at the bombs. I don't really know how they go. A boom, 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 boom.
Ad-da-da-dum.
Oh! Okay, now I understand. Right, right, let's start again. Okay. Boom, 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 boom.
Ad-da-da-dum.
Joe.
Ad-da-da-dum.
Joe.
Ad-da-da-dum.
Joe.
Ad-da-da-dum.
Joe.
Ad-da-da-dum.
Joe.
Ad-da-da-dum.
Joe. I get a good bit. Your bit's really boring. Joe.
I mean, we could go on forever like this, couldn't we?
Let's go on forever. That's it. That was forever.
Who's that from?
That was from a man called Jamie Gill.
A man called Jamie Gill.
He says, hi, Adamski. I'm Cornucopia.
Cornucopia.
As a young boy, I enjoyed tuning into Thunderbirds and singing the theme tune in my head. Thought it would be a perfect opening for your podcast.
Correct.
Thank you very much. He's aged 14. You're a very sophisticated, intelligent young man, Jamie. He's actually called Jamie Taylor.
Is he?
Oh.
Seen you around your own.
His email address is different.
Were you a Thunderbird man?
I liked some Thunderbirds. I enjoyed them more as an adult than as a child, to
really?
Be perfectly honest. Yeah, when I was able to marvel at the modelling work.
Look at the modelling on
that. Look at
the
beautiful modelling.
Look at that little poupée.
It's certainly my favourite. I think I may have, when I was a child, preferred Joe 90.
Yeah, Joe 90 had the best title sequence as well. Mm. We should have done the music for that.
But the man's a national treasure and a genius.
And he looks cool as well. That's how boffins should look.
I'm talking about Gerry Anderson.
Oh, course. Anderson. Sure, I thought you meant 90. The worst one, Marina, Aquamarina. That was just a half-hour slap in the face.
That's for girls.
Was it?
Yeah, so you weren't supposed to like it.
Well, it was the only thing that was on apart from Weekend World. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
Marina. And it was like, shall I watch this or Static? And I thought, well, I'll watch this for a bit. And then after a while, I'd think, you know what? I'm just going to watch a bit of Static. Check out the origins
Static's
of
a
the
good,
universe.
Quite a good film.
Static is a good film, isn't it? Mm. Amanda Plummer. Anyway, folks, welcome to the podcast this week. Very nice to have you along. Exciting news, Joe Cornish.
Oh, yeah.
Check this out, right? This is from Sharnaz. She says, hi, Adam and Joe. Hope all's well. I'm looking after the PR for the Loaded Laughters this year.
Ooh.
And I'm pleased to tell you that you've been nominated in the funniest podcast category.
We won a Laughter last year, didn't we?
Well, yeah, funniest double act. But we are nominated in the funniest podcast category. This news is embargoed until the official announcement tomorrow, so it's okay now
for me to read that.
But I've attached more information here, blah, blah, blah. Are you able to mention this in your next podcast to get the buzz going and get the fans voting? Well, consider it does.
Consider it does.
Sharnaz, because we just done it, right? So, fans, I mean, it's presumptuous of us to call you fans, but podcast listeners, get voting, right? Help us out. Go to the Loaded website and see where you can do the voting, because we'd love to, you know, win an award. We haven't won one this year, have we? No, we won one at the beginning of the year, didn't we? Kind of. Well, we got silver.
We won a bucket load from the Sonys.
Yeah, that's kind of an award.
Certificates.
I mean, we had to buy the certificates.
You're very greedy.
For about 150 quid.
But the Laughter is the pinnacle of any comics achievement. So
yeah.
To win two would be extraordinary. And it would
mean
we could wear last year's on a chain around the neck and this year's as earrings.
I love my Laughter. It takes pride of place on my mantelpiece.
Certainly does.
I really do.
One day, I'm going to go round to, say, Louis Theroux's house.
Mm-hmm.
Or Graham Linehan's house.
And beat him to death with your Laughter.
No, I'm going to get my Laughter and I'm going to smash up his BAFTAs with my Laughter.
Exactly.
And if he tries to stop me, I'm going to smash him in the face with the Laughter so that the Loaded logo is bruised across his forehead.
Remind us what's on the Laughter award.
It's a Joville playing card.
It's a playing card.
A joker.
You know why I like it? Because it looks a little bit like a British Comedy Award. So I can imagine that I've won a comedy award.
Yeah, comedy anyway, awards. What do you think of my plan?
I like it, man. I'm there with you.
Yeah. Because those BAFTAs, I mean, it's got a very heavy base.
Sure.
And I'm sure it would quickly shatter a BAFTA.
Easily, yeah. We could do that. Listen, let's get on with the show this week, shall we?
Do you think it would be fun to have some sort of official series where celebrities battled with their awards? Yeah. And they'd be naked in a kind of ring and they would only be allowed to be armed with their awards. They could throw them or use them as blunt instruments.
No, because then Stephen Merchant and Ricky Gervais would win the whole time in the
war. Yeah, but people would be very angry with them because they'd appear so arrogant with so many awards.
I can't imagine such a thing.
Them appearing arrogant. No, but I think that would be brilliant.
I like the way you did
that. Than anything else?
Very good. I think that would be brilliant as well. Let's get on with the show this week, folks. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back later on with more waffly whiffles. I'm not happy with the way that came out. With more chortle. With more chittle. Oh, for goodness sake, let's just play the thing.
This is a podcast from the Big British Castle, featuring portions from the Adam and Joshua Radio Ram. It is brought to you in super sound stereo. So now my voice is coming to you from the left and now the right.
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
And don't forget, we've started at an earlier time of 10 a.m. today, listeners. If you're confused or something feels a bit off, that's why. But it does mean we're going through till 1 in the afternoon.
Yay.
We're pushing through the noon barrier. Is that going to change the tone of the last hour?
Are you allowed to say pushing through the noon barrier?
You're allowed to say it. It's not allowed to do it.
Not allowed to think about it. Listen, darling. Did you just push through the noon barrier? You are disgusting. You disgust me. Are you going to be eating your lunch in the studio later
Don't
on?
Don't go from pushing through the noon barrier to eating lunch. What kind of a segue is that?
I'm interested.
Revolting. What's the question?
After you've pushed through the noon barrier.
Oh, will I be having something to eat?
Will you have your lunch? You brought in some lunch?
No, I ain't brought in no lunch.
I got some lunch.
I got some lunch. it's old man noises
again. In future, you should bring in Tupperware and stuff. Have yourself a little packed lunch.
Should I, do you think?
Get out some... Bakewell tarts and a little bit of...
There's someone at my work place who comes into the office every day with a Tupperware lunch. Mm-hmm. He's a very good chap. Location manager called Josh. He separates his citrus fruits into separate compartments within the Tupperware box.
Like it.
So it's a triple compartmented box. It'll have grapes in one compartment, mm-hmm. pineapple in another.
Very
an
nice.
Orange in another.
Ooh.
In the middle of a meeting, he will quietly get this Tupperware pot out.
Yeah.
Place it on the table, open it, and start picking with thumb and forefinger bits of fruit out of different compartments. I get very jealous.
Do you? Does he never offer you any...
He sees me looking and then he always offers the fruit, but I don't want to take his fruit.
No, of course not.
No.
Has it occurred to you that maybe you could invest in some Tupperware and bring in your own fruit?
Do you think it's important to separate the citrus
fruit? Yes!
So they don't...
Yes!
Why?
Otherwise you get a salad.
What's wrong with a fruit salad?
Well, that's a different
thing. Why is he so against a salad?
Because he doesn't want a salad.
Why does he want fruit separation in that way?
He wants to enjoy
He's
the
a
unique
very organized
flavor
man.
Of each of the fruits.
It's an indication of how organized he is.
By some other fruit. He doesn't want fruit bleed. He's not. That's not what the scheme is. He wants an individual fruit experience.
Clearly. But that's so... I can just see it in his eye.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes him a different kind of man.
I like him.
That the fruit is compartmentalized,
like
don't you
him.
Think?
Yeah, definitely.
I like him as well.
I really like him.
Drives like a maniac.
Does he?
He does, yeah.
You are a bit of an old woman in a car, though, when other people are driving.
Well, you get in Josh's car.
Have you ever driven with our friend Danny?
Yeah, I have.
He multitasks.
Drives
while
like
he's
a
driving.
Maniac.
He is
terrifying.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my worries have disappeared. Retro Text the Nation's here. And now my mail might be read out instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
Retro Text the Nation, of course, is the part of the program where we read your contributes to last week's contributions.
That's what the kids say.
Yeah, to last week's Text the Nation.
A nice contribute guy.
Thanks. And the theme was amazing parties, the most incredible imaginative ways to make a party really incredible and imaginative. And we got some superb responses. For instance, listen to this one. Dear Adam and Joe, a few weeks ago, I went to visit a friend who's at university in Bournemouth. He whisked me away to a party that some of his course mates were throwing. The purpose of the party was to watch Das Boot, the the original uncut version, which, for those of you that don't know, is the 293-minute original television version of Das Boot. As it was a house full of model makers, they'd completely kitted out the inside of the house to look like a German U-boat, using cardboard, duct tape, and anything else they could get their hands on.
Wow.
Included was a periscope, tiny doorways between rooms, and an array of pipes labelled in German, the best of which was a Schwarzwalder Kirschtorte, Black Forest Gatto pipe. It was a very surreal and enjoyably experience, and it made me miss my university days, 6 hugs and 7 kisses, Andrew Fensom in London. Now, the bit of genius there, I think, is to make doors smaller using cardboard. So presumably you get big sheets of cardboard and then cut a sort of oval-shaped portal in
yep.
it and stick it over the door. So everybody has to climb through a little.
Very nice.
That's brilliant, don't
that would,
you think?
It would get kicked apart a little bit.
By you. But other people who were able to behave themselves would enjoy the doors.
I don't mean deliberately. I mean accidentally and stuff.
Oh, there's no drink at the party.
Is there no drink in the submarine?
And certainly no drugs.
Why are you drinking in the submarine?
Because we have not yet had our engines crippled and sunk to the bottom of the ocean. Then we will start to drink when we realize we're going to suffocate and die at the bottom of the ocean in Das Boot.
Right, right. Because they do get up to some fun stuff. I mean, you could also make it a bit like the Widowmaker K-19.
Yes.
And you could have some nuclear.
Why wouldn't you?
Have some nuclear fun. There could be a room with a little nuclear reactor
yes.
in it. Everyone crawls in there and comes
That's
out puking.
That's a good idea. And comes out puking.
That's what happens at parties anyway. So instead of the actual nuclear reactor, right, you have a big bowl with some punch that's way too strong.
That's a very good
everyone
idea.
Everyone has to go in there and try and fix the reactor. And comes
I've
out
been poisoned. I'm dying.
What a party. Rushing. That's a brilliant idea for a party.
Yeah.
Das Boot. Very good film as well. If you haven't seen Das Boot, maybe start with the theatrical version, but that's a classic.
Here's a message right now from Billy in Glasgow. Hello, Adam and Joe. I thought I'd share my amazing party idea from earlier this year. On the September the 9th of this year, brackets 999, my girlfriend and I decided we'd have an emergency-themed party to Ooh. Celebrate this unique date. We made plans for emergency-themed decorations and costumes and encouraged any party guests to dress appropriately. On the day of the party, I excitedly hurried to a joke shop for some props to enhance my amazing and unique idea. I was shocked and disappointed to find a queue leading out of the shop and down the street full of other people who quite obviously stole my idea. We had the party anyway. It was wicked. We've planned a few.
Well, hey, hang on a second. Yeah. What, like other people had the same idea?
Or everyone was having an emergency
people
party.
She knew? Were they?
Yeah, on 999. Were you not having one?
I don't know. It's really?
You didn't see the date 999 and think, this is a good day for an emergency party. Come
no.
to my emergency party, pom pom.
I feel like I'm in the minority, though.
Yeah.
Did you?
Sure, I
sure
did.
Sure, you did. Everybody did. There were big queues outside
you know
all,
what I did?
Outside what shops?
I hurt myself. So I could
Especially.
Go to the hospital for an emergency party. Hey, Pom Pom, I've come for the emergency party. They frowned on it. I was poo-pooed by the staff of the hospital and asked to go home. But still, I had a go. He says also, we've planned a few years in advance, too. On the 10th of the 10th of the 10th, we're having a binary party. 1010101.
Nah, that's more like it.
Futuristic theme,
like
where
fun.
Everyone dresses as robots. On 11-11-11... We're having a prison party because the date looks like bars, all those ones.
Wait, Noggins.
On the 12th of the 12th of the 12th, we're all going to be roadies or something. I don't understand why he would be. Anyway, thanks for that, Billy in Glasgow.
Okay, this is a good one. James McAnally. When I was at university in Exeter, I was lucky enough to be friends with one particular group who threw the most incredible parties. Once we were all told to come dressed for the beach, we arrived to find a ton of sand covering their hall and kitchen floor.
What?
Deck chairs, spotlights, so you could lounge and enjoy the sunshine.
And deck chairs.
In another room, they'd attached a tarpaulin to the walls and created an indoor swimming pool.
Shut your mouth.
They had also built a water slide. The slide was covered in plastic sheeting and attached to a powerful pump to get that genuine water flow going.
It.
Hey. It was accessed via a stepladder and went from the first floor bedroom window out into the garden before banking round and coming back into the house through some French windows and into the pool. It was huge.
That is just not true.
Well, what is not true about it?
All of it. But it's fantasy. It's the kind of
Adam,
I used to have as a five-year-old.
Students. They're students. Students do anything.
Do they?
They could do that. You could put a tarpaulin up in a room. That's a good idea. Fasten it to the walls, turn on the taps, Bish, bash, bosh. 24 hours later, big pool.
Listen, every fibre of my being wants that to be true. But I just don't believe that it could be done. And imagine the cleaning up operation after that. House would be totally trashed,
but
wouldn't it?
Student house.
I'm too practical. That's my problem.
You know what? I'm not sure I believe that either, James McAnally. Can that be true? McAnally.
Surely if they'd had a party like that, there would be photographic evidence.
Send us the photos, McNally.
I want to see the proof.
Otherwise, you will forever be branded a liar by the castle.
Yeah.
And that would be frightful.
One time we had a party when I was at art school in Cheltenham in our subterranean flat. And a food fight broke out.
That's an 80s way of saying that.
Food fight. So I said it in the 80s. And there was a massive food fight. And so all these cakes and cream cakes and stuff that some of the girls from the fashion department had brought round all started getting thrown and stuff, and everyone was sliding around. I cranked up the music, and it was like a scene from some kind of crazy frat movie. The next day, the place stank of puke and all the kind of off cream and stuff on the walls. We were scraping that stuff off the walls for weeks, scrubbing.
Scraping the stuff.
And we were all hungover. It was the worst day of my life.
Sounds like a wicked party.
Yeah.
You needed cheering up because you were feeling rather low. But now you're doing brilliant thanks to Adam and to Joe and their podcast.
We were talking about tummy rumbles and stomach noises either last week or the week before, and we were complaining about the fact that we never have the presence of mind to record them. You know, obviously it's difficult to do so. What are you chuckling about?
Just that being something to complain about.
Yeah.
Oh, why do I never have the presence of mind to record my tummy noises?
That's the kind of thing I worry about. I lie awake at night thinking about that kind of stuff. If only I could record my tummy rumbles, I'd be somebody. I'd get somewhere. My life would come together instead of just being a little fat, hairy loser man. But here is a message right now from someone who is a success in their life. And it's Nathan. He says, "Hi, Adam and Joseph. About a year ago, me and my friends put together a CD of found sounds and field recordings called Happened Upon with a Microphone. For about 4 days in a row, my wife's stomach had been making these crazy noises every morning in bed when we woke up, and I just had to record it for the CD. Also recorded is us laughing our heads off as we did on each of these mornings whilst mesmerised by the sounds. It's very heartwarming and tender for me to listen back to it," he says. "I hope you like it too."
Listen. I tried to listen to these last night. I didn't get more than 3 or 4 seconds into it before I had to switch it off.
He sent us a very long section of rumbling that sounded almost like digital interference.
But it's a very intimate noise.
It really is. I mean, it sounds like...
It was too intimate for me.
Sure. He's obviously got the mic right there on his wife's belly. It's almost like an ultrasound.
I mean, it's well through the noon barrier and out the other side.
Have a listen, though. I think it is heartwarming. I've clipped it, so it's just a little bit of this. He says, "P.S., there's no copyright or anything on this. It's free to use anywhere."
You know, listeners are already revolted by Boggins.
Come on, this is not a revolt. Just give it a listen. Go on. And don't take your headphones off.
Oh, that's sweet with the lady voice.
Yeah.
It. Yeah, I didn't know it's that loud. Stop it.
That's good. You. They're quite modest, aren't they?
Yeah. Thank you, Nathan, and Angela. That was Angela's stomach there. That must
Angela's
be nice
stomach.
To have your stomach on the radio.
Do you know what I think? I mean, there's been changes at Six Music recently, new presenters. What about having Angela's stomach do a show?
Yes, after George, or before George
before
Lamb?
Before
after
George Lamb.
Or during George
maybe
Lamb.
Maybe over some of George Lamb.
Right, let's get Angela's stomach in. Come on, Angela's stomach. Whee! That's it for Angela's here. Angela's stomach jingle, bing bong. Give us a bing bong for Angela's stomach. Come on. Whee!
And then a record.
That would be nice. What kind of... She could play records like obscure electronica and stuff on the Warp label and things.
Bleeps and boops.
Exactly. You wouldn't be able to tell.
That's a good idea. We should really be running this station. Shouldn't into the we? Ground.
Exactly. Hey, thank you so much, Nathan and Angela. What is it, incidentally, from a medical point of view, that causes those sounds?
Food.
It's food, but gases and things pipping and popping inside your intestines.
From a medical point of view, that is exactly what's causing it, Dr. Buckles.
Yeah. The pipping and popping of the squirties.
Yeah, well done. You remembered all your medical training.
Squirtles.
All your terminology.
Thank you!
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text!
Text the nation this week, listeners, this is what Joe usually says, is all about things that you have been getting wrong for years and only just realised. Here's a couple of brief examples, right? We're going to keep this set up very short because we want to hear your ideas for Text the Nation. For example, I only just realised this week that I've been misspelling realise for a very long time. And it's confusing for me because
Is it an S or a Z thing?
S or a Z.
Well, that's true. Computers try and make... Microsoft Word tries to make you put a Z in.
Tries to make you
in
put
all
a Z
of
in.
Those words.
And you've got the keyboard set to UK spelling.
Rationalise.
Right?
It's always Z, isn't it?
It wants to stick the Z in there.
Yeah.
Why is that? It's a disgrace. So it totally polluted my mind for years. Mm-hmm. Pretty much ever since I started using a PC, you know. Started thinking, oh dear, I thought it was an S and apparently it is a Z because there is a red underline. I must correct it. So now I'm Johnny American spelling of realise and loads of other things with a S sound that, with a Z sound that should be an S. I spoke to my wife the other day and I said, like, is it S or a Z with realise? She said, yeah, S, obviously. And then I went through a whole load of other words. She said, yeah, S, S, S. I've been getting Zs everywhere, just random Z guy. The other thing was, and this is quite embarrassing, thank you, I always thought was one word.
Well, yeah, that I think that's a movable feast.
You reckon?
I mean, officially it's two, isn't it?
Not according to the people I've spoken to. They said that's not a movable feast. It's two words, you dork, is what I got.
Who said that to you?
Wife.
Why?
She laughed. She laughed at me for a while.
Thank you. That's one word. Thank you.
That's what I think, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. That's two words.
Thank you. That's two words.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks is obviously one word. Thank you. That's one word. To me, that sounds like one word. But no, it's two. Not even hyphenated. Like I was thinking maybe it was hyphenated. No, it's two words. So that's quite ignorant, isn't it, listeners? But I've been getting that wrong for a very, very long time. And I'd be curious to know if I'm the only moron involved with this program. I want to hear from you out there about things. And it doesn't have to be like grammatical errors and spelling errors. I'd like to hear about just any kind of misconception you've had in your life that has only recently been corrected, okay? That is Text the Nation this week. And I would like to announce that as the fastest Text the Nation setup ever in the history of this program.
Wow.
Do you think that is?
That's exciting.
It's a record breaker!
Where's Norris McWhirter when you need him?
I'm afraid he passed away.
Six Music.
Later today, songs with girls shouting with Jimmy Winkwong. Then at midnight, DJ Scratch Max.
Scratch! Scratch it! Scratch man! Scratch!
But now, oh, it's Adam and Joe.
I was in the supermarket earlier this week, Joe.
Mm.
And doing a little bit of shopping, and I decided in a sudden whirlwind of craziness to nip next door and go to the electronics shop and buy myself a Blu-ray player.
You fool.
Because I want to get with the Blu-ray, right? Because DVDs, they're going to be extinct in when? When do you think they're going to stop making the DVD players there? Next week?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
You know, those things are almost totally extinct. The nice thing about the Blu-ray player is that you'll be able to play your DVDs on them, right?
Correct.
And it'll scale it up to
upscaling,
faux HD or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's win-win with the Blu-ray. Yeah, there's no downside to it, is there?
There is, yeah. It's region-locked.
Region-locked?
Yeah. So if you were a movie buff of worth your salt, you would have had a multi-region DVD player and you could have had fun importing DVDs from all over the world, broadened your cinematic horizons, The people who invented Blu-ray decided to put a stop to that.
Oh, not again. They do this every single time.
But luckily, you can get the machines hacked.
Yeah, of course. It was the same with DVD players when they came out.
But they're much slower. They've kind of figured it out, so it's harder to hack. But I've got one.
Gene Hackman.
Did he sort it out for you?
Well done.
Went round to the hackles.
Yeah.
And now it's Brill Skills. You can go anywhere in the world and buy the high-def fun.
I forgot about the whole region.
So just come to Uncle Jojo. You've already bought the thing?
Already bought it. Wanted to tell you about my experience of buying.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because I haven't been and bought, I haven't spent a lot of money on a bit of hardware for a while. And I went in there to the shop. And usually I know if I'm going to buy some hardware.
Was this a chain store or was this an independent electronics retailer?
No, this was a chain store.
Right.
So I go in there. There's a little chap with a trendy haircut. And he's a skinny little fella and he's slightly spotty, but he's sparky. He's on his game.
Yes, he certainly is. He's a salesman.
He's a salesman.
He gets a percentage.
Right.
You know, he's got to get his targets.
He wasn't clueless. He wasn't one of those guys you go into the shop and go,
right.
Yeah, you could get that one. I don't really, well.
I like that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Yeah. Have you got a plug? Well, that would be a good one.
It wasn't like that.
No.
He was most sparky and he was a good salesman. He has a little white shirt on there, his pen's in the pocket there. Mm. He's got his little earring in there and he's going to sell me whatever he wants to sell me. After a Blu-ray player. Okay, yeah. Come over here, have a look at this one. This is a really good one. Top of the line. If I was going to buy this, this is the one I'd buy. So immediately I'm thinking, I want to buy it. That's the one I want to buy. If it's top of the line, if it's the one that he would want to buy, I'm going to buy it. Mm. So I was like, yeah, okay, I'm interested in that one. And so, bang, I'm in there already. So he goes, okay. And he's obviously thinking to himself, cool, I've got what they call a lay down here. I think in salesman speak, a lay down is someone who's just going to come in and do whatever you
How
want.
How do you know that? Have you been watching Glengarry Glen Ross?
No, I've been reading Malcolm Gladwell books.
Oh, God.
What is it with you and Malcolm Gladwell? He's brills. Anyway, he talks about lay downs. And salesmen know that when they've got a sucker coming in, it's party time. So I think he saw Buckles coming.
But so far, he hasn't pulled any wool over your eyes. He's selling you a perfectly reasonable...
It's a good machine. I've got FreeSat on there and everything. I'm excited about the FreeSat. And
Hard disk recorder?
Hard disk recorder, yeah.
Right. I know the very model.
The whole nine yards. I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited about recording things in HD. Can't wait. So then after that's all done and dusted, then he starts going on about all the other things that I could be buying. And the first one of which is the HDMI cable.
Yes, you need one of those. They're expensive.
They are expensive,
Well, you should get one with the machine, actually. It should be supplied with the machine.
Didn't get one with the machine.
You should have got one with the
machine. So you're going to need an HDMI cable. Right, sir, come over here. Have a look at these HDMI cables. You got three basic cables that we sell. We've got the good one, the better one, and the very good one. Mm. So most people will go for the very good one, of course. So the good one starts at £50. £50 for the cable. The very good one, 75 quid. The really good one that everyone should get, £100. So that's already 100 quid extra on the
stuff,
thing that I bought. And I'm thinking, and he's going, the very good one has a gold wire running down the middle,
yes,
which conducts the picture and transfers
golden
the picture.
Picture.
It's a golden picture. The very good one has a bronze wire, I think it was. Mm. The good one doesn't have a wire. There's no wire.
It's just hollow.
The picture just trickles through. And you know, it's
buy
probably...
That one. Buy that one.
No.
Buy the bad one.
I wouldn't want to buy the bad
Compromise.
One.
Buy the middling one.
What kind of jerk? Of course I should have bought the middling one. Because can you imagine the difference in
buy
picture?
Buy the good one. Buy the
I
good one.
I bought the good one.
Of course you bought the good
I wanted
one.
To, I wanted to show him that I was the kind of guy who would buy a really good HDMI cable.
You wanted to impress him.
So after that, he's chuckling to himself thinking, it's Mr. Laydown. I'm going to sell him some stuff that he really doesn't need because he's a jerk and I can sell him things because he's a moron. So he goes, okay, surge protection. So he comes over. There's a whole section with surge protectors. Do you know what a surge protector is?
Yeah.
It looks like a big plug gang.
Don't
you know what I'm
it.
Saying? Like an adapter thing. They're all different colours. They've got switches all over them. They've got little
don't
BNC
need it. Don't
cables.
Need it. Don't need it. You didn't buy it, did you?
Not according to this guy. Now, and so I said to him, at this point, I'm chuckling and I'm like saying, surge protectors? Yeah. They're all about 150 quid. He's saying, yeah, you really need a surge protector. I was like, do I? He said, yeah, especially around this part of the world, East Anglia, a lot of lightning storms. Mm. You get a lightning hits the house, comes down, surge, blow up everything. Every bit of electrical equipment you've got. Blow up your modem, blow up your computer. You know, if you've got them, if you've got an Xbox, that kind of thing. All
terrifying
plugged in,
scenario.
They're all going to blow up and that'll be
this
it.
This is fear-mongering.
And And I said, really? At this point, I think, I'm not going to lay down for the surge protector. So I said, I just said to him directly, really? Do you actually know anyone who has needed a surge protector or they've had their equipment blown up by...
Tables turned.
And at that point, he looked rattled for the first time. There was a twitch in his face and he looked down, right? And he did the tell of looking down and he said, yeah.
The tell?
Yeah. He said,
you've been watching The Real Hustle.
I've watched all the stuff. I know all the lingo. He said, yeah. No, it happened to a mate of mine. House was hit by lightning, lost all
his
stuff.
He looked down because his friend was probably killed. And you've been very insensitive.
Right.
And if the friend had a surge protector, he wouldn't have been killed by surge.
In fact,
now surge has come into his house and beaten him to death and then sung something in French, meddled with his daughter and left.
Yeah. In fact, his gravestone is probably shaped like a huge surge protector. And I'm poo-pooing the protection that he's offering me.
Yo, what's going on? What's the scene? Who the heck are these crazy guys?
Well, one's called Adam and the other's called Joe, and you're listening to their podcast.
Oh!
So the salesman I was talking about in the electrical shop that sold me my Blu-ray player was actually listening to the program.
Well, one of his friends.
One of his friends.
One of his co-workers.
Didn't occur to me that they might know who on earth I was. But he objected to being called Spotty, the salesman. Actually, he wasn't Spotty, now I come to think of it. It was a lazy kind of bit of characterization there that I did. He was a very good-looking man. And one thing I omitted to mention was that I fell in love with him.
Well, now you're just going too far the
Am
other
I?
Way.
Yeah. And we're living together. Is that too much?
Yeah, it is. Right. You know, you should go for the medium price cable rather than the very expensive one or the very cheap one. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Well, I hope it came across that the service I received at the shop was absolutely exemplary.
We've had some terrific responses to Text the Nation. This is going to be a good one, I feel.
Oh, yeah, do you
reckon? I've printed some out, and so they're going to be coming up in a second. But first of all, let's talk about something that might anger some people. It's a divisive subject. There's this dog that hangs around the BBC and comes into our studio. You might have heard him in previous programmes, and his very presence really annoys a lot of listeners in a very fundamental way. Other listeners get annoyed that those listeners are annoyed.
He's a very licky dog, and that's the thing. He comes
very
up
physical.
To the microphone, and he pants and he licks. And to hear that kind of licking in your ear hole sometimes is unwelcome for a lot
smelly
of people.
Smelly dog as well.
Also,
very
he
old,
stinks because
but terribly old and sweet.
He has an anal gland-based problem, an anal gland-based problem, which causes him to drag his bottom across the carpet.
But
sometimes.
He will eat other dogs' feces. But apart from that, he's really,
he's
really
very
sweet.
Sweet.
He's very sweet, but he hasn't been around for a while. But
his name is Boggins.
He did come into the program, and he's caused frightful controversy and
half
hoo-ha.
Of our listeners, and we get almost as much mail about Boggins as we do about anything else on this program, and half the mail, it's divided pretty much equally between people that want to see the dog killed, not humanely but brutally, and the other half of the listeners who think he's sweet. And
the dog's fictional, we should add.
He's a fictional dog, not a real dog, right? But still, it doesn't bother our listeners because he is an absolutely sweet chap. But then some listeners have stopped listening to the program because they think enough is enough and they don't want to listen to a show with like a fictional dog that licks your ear hole, who stinks, even if he's sweet.
A listener called Ollie Moss has created two posters. They're beautifully designed, very simple, very striking. One simply declares "Save Boggins" with two red crossed bones, a little like the Red Cross.
Yeah.
And the other says, and that's red on white, the other is white on red, and it says "Kill Boggins" with the same cross design but at an angle so it becomes an X.
It is an absolutely brilliant piece of design from
very
Edward
simple, very
James
beautiful.
Olimos.
And if you visit our blog, which can be found at the internet address that I am about to read you.
It is bbc.co.uk/blogs/AdamandJoe. You don't say forward slash anymore, right?
Nah, just a slash.
It's redundant. It's just a slash.
Have a slash.
Have a little slash.
Then you can, if you go to that address, you can download both of those posters. And if it's your one,
posters.
You can declare your affection or fury towards Boggins in your home
your
or workplace.
You can defend.
I mean, I don't know who would want to do that.
David Bowie.
David. He's printing out both the posters.
I printed out both the posters. I hung them in my window. I couldn't decide if I wanted to kill him or let it slide.
What do you think David's stance on Boggins would be? Bowie's Boggins stance.
Is he not...
David Boggins.
Is he not very empathetic and pro-animals?
Well, yeah, well, what about fiction animals that stink.
And have anal problems.
But very sweet.
Yeah, I think he would like it. I don't know.
He'd be divided.
I think.
And he'd do a concept album.
Right.
One side pro-Boggins, the other side anti-Boggins.
Yes.
Imagine, and there'd be a website and a video game and probably a film made by his son.
Diamond Stinky Dogs.
It would be Brill Skills.
It would be absolutely
amazing. I mean, that's certainly the way for him to go, isn't it? I mean, I'm pretty certain.
He could do a little spoken intro.
Yes.
Like Future Legend at the beginning of Diamond Dogs.
Yes.
And in the death, as the last few corpses lay rotting in Temperance Alley, in crawled a small stinky man who had a problem with his anal glands. He was dragging his bottom across the floor.
I mean, that's a wide open door for Bowie to return to the centre of the contemporary zeitgeist. All he needs to do is step through it.
What do you mean return?
Well, he's obviously
he's never left.
Deity. He's an extraordinary presence, but he could be at the top of all the charts.
Yeah.
They, if he's lucky, they might even have him as a guest on X Factor.
Get on the blog, yo. Check it all out. Hang these posters in your window. We can really start something here, folks. Also, you might be able to find some of the songs that people have been sending in to some of our ludicrous improvised singing every now and again. Here's a message right now from Wesley, and he says, here's my remix of Adam's brilliant radio song. I would say that is stressing it too strongly. I liked his song more than Joe's, although Joe's was lyrically miles better. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't agree with you there, Wesley.
What are we talking about? What songs?
The songs.
the random blurbles.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's dignifying to call them songs. He's from South Africa, and he sends his love. He's our very biggest South African fan. Here's what he came up with.
This song is playing on the radio. Come on, let's go. This song is playing on the radio. Come on, let's go. This song is...
Remember...
Shush.
Sorry.
...is playing on the radio.
Sexy.
Come on, let's go. Listen to the song on the radio.
Squelchy.
I mean, that's sexy. There's something sexy about that.
If I was a gangster, I would dance to that in a nightclub.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about what we've done is we've provided those so-called vocals in a nude version for you that you can download on our blog.
Yeah.
And then you can use your production skills. And they really do throw into sharp contrast people's skills in making something sound really cool, even if it actually sounds awful.
The variety of approaches is delicious. He says, Wesley, P.S. I started out liking Boggins. Now it's all just getting too much. Kill him. So, and there's a little smiley emoticon underneath there. Well, you can get on the blog and print out your Kill Boggins poster and hang it in South Africa there.
But if you want to have a go at demonstrating your production skills with some really hopeless, some singing that's totally devoid of any value.
Yeah.
I would say then download those valueless bits of singing and show us your chops, show us what you've got, see if you can take them in a different direction.
Whoa, you're asking to see the listeners' chops?
I want to see everyone's chops. Pop your chops on the table. What's it all about then, Adam?
What's it all about? It's about misconceptions, things you've got wrong for most of your life and only recently discovered that you had been doing that so wrong.
Yes, case in point, Poppy in Muswell Hill. Hi, Adam and Joe. For many years, I thought that the expression pre-Madonna was actually pre-Madonna, using Madonna's chart success as a benchmark to compare all other female singers to. I recently had this pointed out by my dad. Felt a little bit silly. Poppy in Muswell Hill. Muswell,
that's what you mean.
Yeah, that's one I do, you see?
Yeah.
I told you, I've got loads of them.
But yours seem like affectations that you're quite proud of, like saying Kate Beckinsale.
That's just my approach to life in general.
Kate Beckinsale.
So try and be happy with one's flaws.
Quite right.
This one's from Joe in Bow. It wasn't until recently I realised that a piece of cake was called a sliver and not a slither. Apparently, everyone else knows it apart from me. A sliver, not a slither. Slither is something a snake would do.
Yes, exactly. It is confusing, though. I remember when that Sharon Stone film came out. It took me a while to get my brain in gear for that.
The Sharon Stone film Slither.
I was excited about the prospect of Stone slithering. I wanted to see some, because you can imagine, she'll do anything.
Slithering.
And that was around the time in her career where she was slithering all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And when it turned out to be just she lived in a thin building, was it?
I don't think I ever saw it.
What a terrible
Is that the
film.
One where the catchphrase was, I like to watch?
That's right, yeah.
Who was it? Was it one of the Baldwins sitting in front of a big bank of tellies?
That's right, yeah. He just wired up the whole place with CCTV.
Waxing on and waxing off.
So, so he could watch Sharon taking showers.
Sharon and off. Here's one from Dilly in Plymouth. I used to think on Halloween that when you knocked at people's door, you'd say, trickle treats.
Trickle treats.
Instead of trick or treat, when they answered. This made perfect sense, as I'd only get a handful of sweets from each person. She spells sweets sweats. So her problems aren't over. I'd only get a handful of sweats from each person that answered, Dilly and Plymouth.
A little trickle of sweat.
Yeah. Trickle treat. Do a little wee in the garden.
Guy just pushes his armpit up to the mailbox there and sort of scrapes a little bit of perspiration off into her bag.
Francis in Brighton has a problem. I thought till very recently that the word chimney was chimley.
Chimley?
And was always very confused in the Mary Poppins song. Now, instead of saying word, she says work. I thought till very recently that the work chimney was chimley. So there's a multiplicity of problems there in Francis's brain.
Chim chimley, chim chimley,
chim chim chimley. Clean the chimney.
These are all quite sweet, though. I like these things.
Tim in Dorset. I've worked in a cafe on my summer holidays from uni and since I graduated, so about a year overall. There's an emerging theme with these, isn't there? I mean, not only is there the problem, but there are often other problems
It's not an isolated
fault. It's a grouping of incidents.
It's problem spotting.
I only just realised it's an espresso, not an expresso.
Ah, well, you see, that is a bone of contention.
Is it? Is that debatable?
I myself have used espresso in a formal context.
Espresso.
Some people say you can spell it with an X. Other people say you have to...
Well, the same can be said of realize and using Zs.
I don't know if it's the same sort of thing. I don't know if it's an American, a UK, US...
Well,
divide.
Sometimes there's no hard and fast rule.
Language is a very evolution. You know, it changes a lot.
Does it?
Mutates, yeah.
Yeah. Dave in Crofton Park. Apparently, it's chutney, not chupney.
So you got
says
chutney.
Dave. Llama. Oh, we know Llama. She's an old friend of the show. Mm-hmm. I've been saying it scalextrics for about 15 years. I only recently found out that it's scalextric.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first one's so much easier to say. Scalextric just gets stuck in your mouth. I can't be alone on this one.
Absolutely not. I had the same problem. I was setting up the track only last week, and I wrote about it in my diary, and I had to go and spell check it on the internet because it started scrambling my brain and the internal...
You spell checked it before you wrote it in your diary?
Yeah.
Because you're worried about spelling mistakes in your diary.
Don't want a badly spelled diary.
For when the publishers...
Exactly, come a knocking.
Come a knocking and it gets published.
This
and
guy can't spell scalextric. Yeah. We're not going to publish his diary.
But spelling mistakes like that will be very endearing in your published diary.
No, I want people to be overwhelmed by my spelling prowess.
Okay. Here's a final one for this segment from Nicola. Hi, Adam and Joe. My boyfriend recently asked me how many cloves of garlic I wanted chopping for a recipe we were making.
How can you have got through that many years thinking it's cloves?
I wasn't sure I'd heard correctly, but he had indeed said cloves and wasn't impressed when I burst out laughing at him.
I'm a funny person. I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party.
So this is the part of the show, listeners, where we ask you to submit jokes that you've authored yourself. So every joke we read, the author has claimed that it's their own original work.
And many authors are now telling us that they themselves have Google-checked them.
Yeah.
So that's good
practice. The criteria are very strict. So hopefully these should be jokes you've never heard before. If you have heard them before, then it's either a coincidence or we've been lied to.
Here's one from Mike Wheatley. He says, Sherlock Holmes is wandering around his grounds with Dr. Watson.
When
they see all but one of the fruit trees have had their fruit stolen by birds. Oh. This is a good one.
Is it?
Yeah. You ruined the setup there. Sherlock Holmes is wandering around his grounds.
Well, Sherlock Holmes jokes always have the same punchline.
Doesn't matter! With Dr. Watson when they see all but one of the fruit trees have had their fruit stolen by birds. The good doctor pondered why the remaining tree hadn't lost its sweet, nutritious fruit. It's a lemon tree, my dear Watson. Cheers, Mike Wheatley. That's what Sherlock says. Don't search for it's
Sherlock.
A lemon tree.
Sherlock.
Come on.
Holmes.
Obviously, they're all going to be like elementary puns, but
that's good. That's
good.
Good. That's
it's
good.
A lemon
that's
tree.
Good. That's good. You know, Sherlock Holmes, they're published, started being published in 1875. So we're assuming that over 125 years, no one has made that, but that's a reasonable assumption. Good, good, good.
Correct.
Here's another one. What do you call a really fun, jovial and jolly person who gives out parking tickets? A Triffic Warden.
Who's that from?
Niall in Huddersfield.
Niall.
That's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that one. Here's one from Tom Pegg in Nottingham. Which region of England would you use to describe a man with longer than average privates? East Anglia.
That's quite good.
He says, is this too rubbish? It's definitely original. I checked by Googling East Anglia, he's Danglia, and it got no results. Thanks and bye, Tom Pegg.
This one from John Fraser from Coupar in Fife. That's in Scotland. What do posh bees in Kensington do when they build a nest in an unusually tall tree? They have a high swarming party. That's good, isn't it? Sorry if I pronounced your hometown wrong there, John Fraser. Everyone knows I can't pronounce nothing.
Excellent. Here's my last one. This is from Andrew. He says, I remember today that I made up a joke about Motown once. I wonder if it qualifies as a made-up joke. It goes like this. It's really cold in Motown. Do you even know what the maximum temperature is? No. No, I don't. What is it? 3 degrees, four tops.
No, that's funny. I put that one down as well, actually.
Come on. 3 degrees, four tops. That's from Andrew.
It's in a John Cleese film.
What?
That Sherlock Holmes joke, so I'm right.
It's a lemon tree?
Yeah, it's from 1977. The Strange Case of the End of Civilization as We Know It.
Mike, you lied to me, damn you!
But, man, I could deduce that one, man. Sam from Glasgow. He says he's 12. I'm not sure I believe it. Who's the coolest person in the hospital? The ultrasound guy. Who replaces him when he's away? The hip replacement guy. Could that have been made up by a 12-year-old?
Yes.
It's a tissue of lies.
This is a podcast. You downloaded it quite fast. Using your broadband and some clicks done by your hand. Now you're listening to it in your house or in your car or a boat or in a plane. Hope it's nice wherever you are.
Later on today, I'm going to be interviewing Spike Jonze,
ooh la la,
the film director, not the creator of Enjoyable.
He must be very nervous right now.
I imagine he's very nervous. He's been
very
preparing
tense, the Big Buckles interview
for this for a long time. It's the big interview
the
of his
big
career.
Interview.
The big overview.
Mm.
And it's going to be taking place at
It's quite a peak for a performer, isn't it, when they are
when you get the call
by Buckles.
Yeah, for Count Buckley's.
Call
certainly.
Of the Buckles.
5 o'clock, I'm going to be there talking to Spickle Spockles. That's what I call him. That's what I'm going to be calling him when I see him there. Spiker, I might call him.
Mm-hmm.
Spockules. Dr. Spock. The Jones man, the Jonesinator. Anything else I should call him?
No.
I think he'll like all those names.
He will. He's a very convivial chap.
I'm going to be talking to him, obviously, about his film Where the Wild Things Are, and saw that last night, enjoyed it greatly. Mm. It's not going to be a completely formal interview. In fact,
why
it might
not
be a little bit stupid?
What?
He doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to be giving him... I'm going to be quoting some comments that I've got
well,
from
your
YouTube.
First question should maybe just be, who are you?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Right,
who are you and what do you do?
Who are you and what do you do? What then?
Well, it depends what he says.
I have to listen to his answer and then respond to that.
Yeah. What are your favourites?
Favourites.
And don't specify what.
Wait.
Because what are your favourites?
Yeah.
And what are your worst?
What worst?
What worst?
Can I just say that? What worst?
Well, you can just say faves.
Faves? Spickles. Faves? Then he comes back, gives me an answer.
Then you go, what are your worsties?
What worst? What's your worsties?
Worsties. Say worsties.
Okay, you answered that. Now, Spocky.
Jedward.
Spock.
Jedward.
What are your worsties?
Jedward. That's next one.
Yeah.
Right. That
oh,
down.
Oh.
Jedward.
Jedward. This is good. And you don't think I should talk about the film?
What film?
The Wild Things.
Oh, that's what he's done. I wouldn't. Everyone else will be talking to him about that.
What would Jedward make of the Wild Things? Or if they were Wild Things, what Wild Things would they
would Jedward
be? That's a good question.
What do you do? Faves?
Faves?
Worsties.
Worsties.
Jedward? Bye.
Who are you?
I can't wait.
Who are you? What do you do?
Ah,
Worsties? Question mark.
Worsties?
So five questions. That should do it, shouldn't it?
What about this one? Who do you do?
Who do you do?
Who do you do?
Who? Who currently do you do?
Who do you do?
Who do you do?
That was the end of the so-called highlights from this week's Six Music Radio Show. Now there's just a little time left for one final linky from the two baboon men that you call Adam and Joe.
Off to talk to Spickle Jones. Spicky Spikle Sparkles, Spockulies Jones.
Buckles is off to interview Spike Jones at the Apple Store. That'll be very exciting. Do you know the Joneser already? Have you met him before?
I've met him socially, yeah.
Do you think he'll recognise you?
I think he should do.
You're planning for him to recognise you?
Haven't seen him for a long time.
What kind of greeting are you going to give him?
Yo, Spickles.
Yo,
and I'm
going to
go for a high five. Or, and he might like this, I might punch him hard in the gonads.
Yeah.
Because that's the way he rolls. And this is serious. He does do that kind of thing. Because his background is Jackass, right? That's how he started out. He used to direct the very first episodes of Jackass.
It's not how he started out.
No, not like full stop. But
it's how Jackass started out.
Yeah, but his background is like skate culture and...
Correct. Well done. You're ready to interview him.
Well, there you go. And he, you know, he's a bit of a prankster and a joker and he likes some rough and tumble.
So you think a good hard... Oh, dear. A good hard knee in the nuts would start things off.
Joe's Christmas decoration fell off his Julie's there. But, yeah, a good hard knee in the nuts and then a smack in the face.
A smack in the face. Look, with you doing that in the Apple Store, me round at Linehan's house, smashing up his awards with my laughter, it's going to be a fun afternoon for both of us.
We end up in the celebrity
cells. We've got some anger issues, maybe.
Do you reckon?
I think I do.
Envy-based anger issues.
I'm angry about the environment.
Are you? I'm furious about the environment, but what do you do?
What can you do but just fingers crossed and switch on the telly?
Hey, that's what I do.
Is it?
Yeah. I use loads of power watching shows about how to save the environment. I fly to conferences about how to save the environment.
No wonder we're so angry.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening this week, listeners, and we hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, we really do appreciate your loyalty to this programme, this podcast, very much indeed. Please don't ever let it waver. Otherwise, we'll be around to hurt you. That's a solid gold promise. Is that too much?
Yeah, that's bad. That's an actual threat. I think that might contravene castle rules. And the fact is, we wouldn't want to hurt. I mean, you're sending very mixed signals. You're always telling listeners you love them.
I'm getting carried
and
away.
Now you're threatening violence. What kind of a person are you? It's very passive aggressive.
It's because we've broken through the noon barrier.
It's confused us, hasn't it?
We started the show an hour later today, and
I think everything's a bit scattered. I mean, Black Squadron performed very well. I believe we had over 120 entries, but there was a sense of binbag-based confusion there. Uh-huh. I mean, it's all been a bit scattershot and confused.
No, it'll all come together next week. Don't worry.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be fine. Take care, listeners. Have a lovely week. I love you. Bye!
See you.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music.
I wrote a song about fairies, and then I did a performance piece to myself in front of the fridge.
I stuffed my pillow with little dead fairies.
Tiny dead fairies. The irony of the fairies being dead was not lost on me. I was, I was, I was, I was, I was. And then I did some mime.